بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وصلی اللہ علی النبی الکریم رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی. دا ٹاپک فار دس ڈے از دا بلیف سسٹم آف اسلام. The belief system of Islam is based on three important tenets, three important teachings. That is, Tawheed, Risalat, Akhirat. Oneness of God, Prophethood, and World Hereafter. These three tenets are basic principle in Islam. These three tenets form the belief system of Islam. Today, I would like to say something. Today, I would like to say a few words about these three aspects of Islamic belief. Tawheed means oneness of God. That is, God is one. He is the only creator. He is the only sustainer of the world. And He is the Lord of the Day of Judgment. So this is Tawheed. This concept is based on the belief in God. You know, in previous human history, the anthropological studies show that in every age and every period, man was believer of God. The only irreligious belief at that time was shirk. People were believing in God, but at the same time they were believing in shirk. Shirk means that they believed that there are some partners of God. So although they were believers of God, but at the same time they presumed, they supposed that there are some partners of God. So the concept of God was like axiom throughout the history. Now, after the advent of science, after the advent of modern science, for the first time in history, a new phenomena was seen, that is atheism. Some people claim that science has disprove the existence of God. In the early phase of the science, they used to say that our world is a material drama. There is no God. All the activities are just a result of blind interplay of physical and chemical forces. This was believed in the first phase of scientific discoveries. But after the split of atom, everything was changed. Now it became impossible to say that it is all a material drama, because all the material world except man was simply matters without any intelligence. Except human being, there is nothing in the vast universe that has intelligence. All the stars, all the planets and solar system and everything in this vast universe. You know, in this vast universe there are so many things, countless things, but there is no intelligence. But scientific discoveries show that there is intelligence behind all these activities, because the world science discovered was very, very meaningful. There was very, very harmony. Everywhere there was mathematical precision. Everywhere there was mathematical order. So it was impossible to understand, it was impossible to believe that there is no intelligence in the universe. So in the second phase, people said that universe itself is intelligent universe. One Fred Hoyle published a book, Intelligent Universe. So they claimed that our world is world of intelligence, but it was wrong. All these scientific discoveries disprove this notion. So now the position is that we have no trace at all to prove that universe is an intelligent universe. But there is intelligence behind the universe. So how to explain? How to explain? Because there is no proof at all that the universe itself is an intelligent universe. There is no scientific proof toward this notion. So now the question is, according to these atheist people, they say that if God created the universe, then who created God? If God created universe, then who created God? But this question is illogical. Illogical. Here I would like to give only one example of the universal harmony. You know, all the phenomena, all the things we see in the universe are combination of atoms. Atoms. A drop of water contains a billion atoms. So is the case of everything in this vast universe. But now science has discovered that atom comprises two things, proton and neutron. And it is discovered that proton is a bit lighter a neutron is a bit heavier. All the atoms in this universe, all the atoms of this universe have the same property, that their neutron are a little heavier and their protons are a little lighter. So scientific community says that if they were opposite, if the case were opposite, that proton were heavier and neutron were lighter, so all the atoms disintegrated, and after the disintegration of atom, there was no atom, there was no chemistry, there was no life, there was no human being. So here you can see that there are billion examples of this kind that show us that there is a great intelligence behind this universe. In everything there are mathematical order. So now the option for us, now the option before us, that either we have to accept unexplained mathematical laws, or we have to accept unexplained God. Either we have to believe that there is a God, there is unexplained God, or we have to believe that there is unexplained mathematical laws. But mathematical laws are not an option for us, not at all. So we have only one option, that to believe that there is an unexplained God. There is no other option. For example, let us take the example of mother. If there are a living mother and at the same time there are a plastic mother, so apparently there are two options, either to believe your living mother as your mother, or that plastic woman as your mother. But in real sense, it is not an option. You have not two options, but only one option. You cannot opt for the plastic mother. It is not an option. It is ridiculous to say that this plastic mother is my mother. So you have one option, only one option, that this living woman is my mother. So in the case of our world, we cannot, the unexplained unexplained mathematical laws are not our option. Only one option is feasible, that is unexplained God. So now God is a scientific phenomenon, scientifically proved phenomena. Then let us take the belief in the prophethood. In the Quran there is a verse, in the Quran there is a verse, وَمَا أُوْتِيْتُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا وَمَا أُوْتِيْتُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. This is a Quranic verse. This verse tells us that man has only little knowledge. وَمَا أُوْتِيْتُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Ilm qaleel, that is little knowledge. This was declared in the Quran in the first quarter of 7th century. Now, science itself says that science gives us but a partial knowledge of reality. I read a book. This book was written by a scientist. The title was Limitations of Science. In this book, he has established that science gives us but a partial knowledge of reality. So here you can see that the Quranic concept is now proved by science. Quran declared that you have to rely on the prophetic knowledge, because other than prophet, no one can give you the full knowledge about your life. So philosophy failed, and now science itself confessed that science gives us but a partial knowledge of reality. So if you take this scientific discovery, you'll be compelled to believe that we have no option other than revelation, other than prophethood. You know, Alexis Carrel has published a book, Man the Unknown. The man still remains unknown. Science failed to discover all those laws which may explain the human phenomena. Alexis Carrel himself was a scientist, a French scientist. So he published this book with this title, Man the Unknown. So all those philosophical struggle, all those scientific discoveries we have, but still man is unknown. We are unaware of those laws by which we may understand man's phenomena. You know, everyone has questions in his mind. Who am I? What is my future? What is the purpose of my life? What is pre-death period? What is post-death period? All these questions are very pertinent to every man and woman. But philosophy failed to give us answer of these questions. And science also failed to give us. So the purpose of life, the creation plan of life, everything is unknown. So the failure of philosophy and confession of science that science gives us but a partial knowledge of reality. It proves that we have no option other than to accept the prophet, because prophet is a person who has revealed knowledge from God. Prophet is a revealed person. Prophet receives revelation from God. You know, God is the creator. God knows everything. Everything is in God's mind. So God has sent the knowledge of truth to his prophet, and prophet has conveyed us that revelation, that knowledge. So we have no option other than to accept God and to accept prophet. If we want to know the secrets of life, if we want to plan our life in the right manner, if you want to know the true path of life, if you want to know what is the secret of success of our life in pre-death period and also in post-death period. So we have no option other than to believe in Prophet, to rely on the Prophet, to take guidance from the Prophet. So this is the second tenet of Islam. It's the second tenet of Islamic belief. The third belief is Akhirah. Islamic belief system is based on three tenets: Tawheed and Prophethood and Akhirah. Akhirah is the third tenet of the Islamic belief. Akhirat means hereafter, world hereafter. So according to this belief, God has created man as an eternal being, but he placed his life span. But he divided his life span into two parts. One part is he placed in the before death period, and the other he placed in the post death period. So Akhirat is the very important tenet of Islam. If you take a copy of the Quran and start reading it, you will find that the very first chapter of the Quran says, Malik Yawmiddin, God is the Lord of the Day of Judgment. Almost in every chapter you will see something about this belief, about the Akhirah. Almost every chapter gives us some knowledge directly or indirectly about Akhirah. One scholar was asked, what is the gist of the Quran? He said, Sarguzasht-e-Inzar. Sarguzasht-e-Inzar means record of warning. Warning about the Akhirah. So the whole Quran is a warning. Quran informs us about the creation plan of God. And according to this creation plan of God, we will face the world hereafter. According to this creation plan of God, we are accountable to God. This concept is the most important concept in Islam. You know, when the Prophet of Islam was appointed as a prophet in 610, he addressed the Meccan people. In his first address, after receiving revelation from God, So in this first prophetic address, he said, O people, innakum latamutuna kama tanamun. سُبَّنْ لَكُمْ لَتَّحْيَوْنَ كَمَا تَسْتَيْقُدُونَ وَإِنَّهَا لَجَنَّةٌ أَبَدًا أَوْلَ نَارٌ أَبَدًا. This was the first address by the Prophet of Islam in Mecca. He said that, O people, you will die and then you, but the death is not end of your life. He said that the death is not the end of your life. After death, there is also another life. Another life. And in that life, in that period of life, there are hell or heaven. So you will be either punished or you will be rewarded. So you have to follow the path of God. You have to believe in God. You have to purify your soul. You have to prepare yourself. Otherwise, you will be punished in the world hereafter. This was the first address by the Prophet of Islam in Mecca. And when he migrated from Mecca and settled in Medina, he addressed Medina people. And in this first address, he again repeated the Islamic principles. And the scientific studies show that man has some natural urge in his nature, in his mind. For example, we have an urge in the form of hunger. Hunger is our natural urge. We find that there is abundant food provided for us in this world. And when we find in our personality hunger, and then world provides us with food. Then there is another urge in the form of thirst. Thirst is also a natural phenomena. But here we see that nature provides us water. Water. Then, although we have two eyes, but we cannot see without light. Although we have two eyes, but eyes cannot see anything without light. So nature provides us light in the form of sunlight. So all those things we want, all those things our nature requires is present here in this world. But there are three urges which are not provided us in this world. Three urges. All except these three urges, all the urges are present in this world. What are these three urges? These are eternity and justice and happiness. We want eternity. We want eternal life. But we die after 70 years, after 80 years. No one was able to live eternally. No king, no wealthy person. So, by nature, we want to live eternally. Eternity is our natural urge, but eternity is not there. We feel hungry and there is food. We feel thirsty and there is water. We need light and there is solar system. But we want eternity, but there is no eternity in this world. you are compelled to die before finding eternity. Then we want justice. We want justice. Justice is interwoven in our nature. We see that in this world, some people are good, some people are bad, but there is no result. There is no punishment for those people who are living with evil character, with bad character. And also, there is no reward for those people who were good people. So in this world, there is no justice. Justice requires punishment and reward, both. Justice requires that good people must be rewarded and bad people must be punished. But you see, there is no reward, no punishment. So our nature wants justice, but there is no justice in this world. Then let us take happiness. Everyone tries to live in happiness. Happiness is our deep desire. To live in happiness is our deepest desire. But no one is able to live in happiness. Bertrand Russell has published a book with this title, Happiness. The title of this book is Happiness. So Bertrand Russell says in this book that happiness in this world is impossible. You see, all the novels of the world, in every language, all the novels are tragedy. All the popular novels are tragedy. Why? Because only tragic novels address people's mind. Everyone is living in frustration. Everyone is living with this feeling that I was deprived of happiness. Every man and woman are living with this feeling that I failed to achieve happiness. So only those novels that are tragic novels, only those novels address people's mind. So only those novels are bestseller novels. So this is the situation. No king, no wealthy people, no one was able to achieve success. Everyone is doomed to die in failure with frustration. So we want eternity and we fail to achieve eternity. We want justice and we fail to achieve justice in this world. We want happiness, but everyone failed to achieve happiness. So why this state of affairs? Why everyone is in despair? Everyone is compelled to live in despair. You know, an American, there is a well-known missionary in America, Billy Graham. He says in one of his speech that once I received a message from a richest person in America. He was a wealthy person. So he sent an urgent message. So I abandoned my programs and I hurriedly went to his town. But when I was face to face to that billionaire, He was completely in frustration, in despair. Although he had big house, abundance, everything in abundance, great bank balance, everything was there. But, and he was, now he was an old person, but he was living in despair. So he said to Billy Graham, he said to Billy Graham with great despair, with frustration, in a pessimistic mood. So he said, "You see, I am an old man. Life has lost all meanings. I am going to take a fateful leap into the unknown. Young man, can you give me a ray of hope? Can you give me a ray of hope?" So everyone is seeking a ray of hope. All humanity, all men and women are seeking a ray of hope. Hope means they want to find eternity. They want to find justice. They want to find happiness. So here, ray of hope means a world where there is eternity, a world there is happiness, a world there is justice. So this is a dream of every human being. This is a dream of human being. There is no exception at all. You cannot find a single person who is an exception. Everyone is born with this dream to find eternity, to find justice, to find happiness. But in spite of all those struggle, all those endeavors, and all those wealth and political power, he fails. So in the end, he is asking, this question was not only that American billionaire, this question was given by everyone. This question is everyone's question. Everyone is seeking a ray of hope. Everyone asks whether there is dream world, there is a world that was in my mind. So everyone dies with this question. Every man and woman dies with this question that whether I can fulfill my dream, whether it is possible to have that dreamland, whether it is possible to find a world where there is eternity, where there is happiness, where there is justice. The belief in Akhira tells us that yes, there is a world. That world is paradise. Concept of Akhira is an answer to this question. Akhira means that the world of eternity, world of happiness, world of justice is there. But it requires a price. A price. With price, you cannot achieve anything in this world. So your dream land, your dream world is there, but it requires a price. And what is that price? That you follow the guidance of the Prophet in your pre-death period of life, and then in post-death period you will find that dream world in the form of paradise. So belief in akhirat is the only answer to this question. Present world is a world of test. This is a testing ground. In the present world, we have a golden chance. In our present world, we have a golden chance to prove with our character, with our behavior, that we are a deserving candidate for the paradise. So this world is a kind of selecting ground. According to the Quran, we are under the angels. Every time angels are recording our life, our intention, our speech, our belief, our character, everything is under watch by the angels. So angels of God are preparing our record of life. According to this record, we will be given paradise, or we will be denied of paradise. So this is the answer to that question. Why people are living in frustration? Because what is provided in the world hereafter, they are trying to achieve in this world. When you are traveling in a train or in a bus or in an aeroplane, you cannot find your house, you cannot find a park, you cannot find a market in train or in bus or in an aeroplane. Aeroplane is for journey. You cannot find a house to live in the aeroplane. Now we are like a traveler. During this travel, we cannot find paradise. Paradise is at the destination. And that destination is after death, in the world after death. So akhirat is the only answer to this question. Akhirat is a good news for all those seekers, all those people who are seeking a world where there is eternity, where there is happiness, where there is justice. So akhirat is a good tiding for all those people. Akhirat is a good news for all those people. Because akhirat tells us that in the world hereafter, there is a paradise. Paradise is an ideal world. Paradise is a perfect world. Paradise is an eternal world. All kinds of happiness are there. And also, there is justice, complete justice. So akhirat is a good news for all those people who are seeking the place where they can fulfill their dream. You know that everything requires price. Without price, you cannot get anything. So what is the price of paradise? Paradise also needs a price, and that price is that you follow the divine guidance in pre-death period so that may God award you paradise in the post-death period. This is the price of paradise. Without price, there is no paradise. You know, paradise, some people believe that they are a chosen people. Some people believe that they are chosen people. And paradise is their right. It is wrong. No group is a chosen group. No people are chosen people. And no one can get paradise as his right. No. First of all, you have to live a life according to divine guidance so that you may prove a deserving candidate for the paradise. Paradise is a perfect world. Paradise is an ideal world. It is paradise where we can find all these good things, eternity and happiness and justice and all those good things. But without paying the price, you cannot get paradise. So first of all, we have to discover God. We have to find God. We have to realize God. This is the starting point of this paradise culture. The starting point of journey towards paradise is discovery of God. From here begins the journey towards paradise. So we have to discover God, we have to realize God, we have to find God. I have to redefine everything. We have to reshape our mind. We have to discover God and we have to reshape our mind according to the divine principles. Then the second thing is that we have to follow the guidance given by the Prophet. Prophet is a revealed person. Prophet is the only authentic source of divine truth. So we have to follow the Prophet unconditionally. We have to follow the Prophet without any condition. Thus we can save ourselves from deviation, from distraction. When we accept Prophet as our unconditional leader, then we can save ourselves from deviation, from distraction. Then we have to believe in the world hereafter. We have to believe in accountability. We have to believe in the concept of Maliki Yawmiddin. God is the Lord of the Day of Judgment. So this belief will enlighten us. This belief will awaken our mind. This belief will vitalize our spirituality. This belief will make us a person who is a deserving candidate for paradise. So this is the three basic tenets of Islam, and the belief system of Islam is based on these three tenets. These three tenets are Tawheed, Risalat, Akhirat. That is, oneness of God, La ilaha illallah. It means, there is no God but one God. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that there is no God but one God. Then we have to believe in the prophethood of Muhammad. It is also, this belief is also a discovery. This belief is not any kind of lip service. It is a realization. It is a discovery. Then the third tenet is Akhirat. To believe that there is world hereafter, to believe that our life is, to believe that when we die, to believe that death is not an end to our life, to believe that death is not an end to our life. But after death there is also a life. It is life after life concept. So when we die, we enter into the world hereafter. So Tawheed is the ideological base. Prophet Muhammad is the authentic guide. And then Akhirat is like a good tiding, that our dream world, that our dream world is a reality. It is not simply a dream. Eternity and happiness and justice is not simply a utopian concept. It is a fact. So we have to try to fulfill this dream. This is the Islamic concept, and this is the three basic tenets of Islamic belief system. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أجمعين.